Good evening. We want to continue tonight something. I didn't know we were going to do another message on disciple making when I finished up last week, but I found some more information, another thought that I would like to present tonight. I'm almost embarrassed that it's so simple, but it's important and it's good stuff. And so I want to take some time tonight to talk about Jesus' example of making disciples. We'll just look at a lot of passages together. We're going to go to John chapter 2, and all of the scripture will come from John chapter 2. I asked last time and the time before, what is a Christian? And what do Christians do? And the answer, Christians are disciples. They were called disciples first, called Christians first at Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Christians are disciples, and Christians are disciples who make disciples. That's our commission. That's what God wants us to be doing. There were some prerequisites to disciple making. First of all, you have to know who you're following, right? Jesus needs to be in the front of the line that you're in. You need to know him personally. He's our teacher, our rabbi. He's our Savior, our Lord. And so we need to give attention to the Lord Jesus, and we need to know him in a personal way. And I think that will be the reason for that will be obvious as we look through John's gospel and talk about how Jesus discipled his 12 and more. Before you follow Jesus, you'll want to count the cost. Now, this has a context back here in Luke chapter 9, but I said to you last time, you know, there's not much of a distinction in the scriptures between a Christian and a disciple. If you want to be a disciple, well, you want to be a Christian. This is not adding to the gospel, but what does being a Christian entail? It involves a will to be a Christian. You have to desire to know the Lord. But then, as Paul says in all of his epistles, there's a matter of denying yourself, you know, and dying to yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Die to yourself. And at that point, you can follow after the Lord Jesus. Once you are a disciple, you can make disciples, which will involve, we said last time, a battle for the mind that's fought really on two fronts. We have to rescue their mind, our disciples' minds, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's a job in itself, especially today when there are so-called Christians that say everything's okay. You can do anything nowadays and find some pastor, some church that would agree with you. But we need to, if we're going to make true disciples of Christ, they need to die to themselves daily, and they need to do what the Lord wants them to do, taking up their cross, denying themselves, and following him. So we have to rescue their mind from the devil, teach them why that's wrong. And then we have to show them what's right. There's a task of getting our disciples to focus on the things of the Lord, off of the things of the world, flesh, the devil, onto the things of the Lord, which involves what he did in the past, right? One of the best ways to make disciples is to tell them what God has done. I like doing that. That's fun to talk to people about what the Lord has done in the scripture, in your own life. Oh, we've got lots of territory to roam in as we talk to them about the past. Talk to them about the present. We have God's 100% attention right now. God is all about his family in this age, in every age for that matter. But in this age, God, we have his undivided attention, and we're about his business. And he empowers us and he directs us. And God's busy right now in his mission enterprise here on the earth, on this earth. Well, the past, the present, we have to include the future, don't we? When we are talking to our disciples, we need to talk to them about what's ahead, which is also quite exciting, talking to some new convert about what God's got in store for us. We also talk about them in the future. Now, you're a Christian, you know, you're learning some things of the Lord, and God has a job for you. You need to be doing what I'm doing for you. You need to go and do it for other people. Tell them the things that you're learning. You have a cousin, you have a niece or a nephew, you have a friend, somebody that you work with, or your mom and dad, or your brother or sister. Go and try to convey these things to somebody you know. God wants to use you in the future to bring disciples to Him. We said last time that the environment is important. There has to be a place, a time, a quiet time. A place where you can just talk and dialogue a little bit about the things of the Lord. That's how they'll be taught, you know, just looking at the scriptures. And then after they digest a little bit of that, you want to take them out into the world in which they live and say, okay, let's practice, let's do it. And they'll watch you and you'll give them opportunities to experience firsthand what you have taught them. This is disciple making. It's not just classroom. Okay, it's not just book learning. It's actually put it in shoe leather now. Let's go out and do it. So there has to be a time for the book learning and there has to be a time for the shoe leather. Go out and make it happen. This is probably, I could say, the first point that I'd like to make tonight as we consider disciple making. Tips from Jesus, according to John. Tips from Jesus, according to John. I lettered mine A to V. I don't know how many that is, 22 maybe, something like that. There are a number of them. If you're writing, I'm going to give you a reference for everyone. Take them down if you take notes, because these could really be helpful to you if you're interested in making disciples. Number one, A, I should say, spend time with your disciple in public places. Spend time with them in public places. You say, is that in the Bible? Well, that's what Jesus did. And that's why I say it's almost too simple tonight. I'm going to show you what Jesus did. We'll just kind of draw it, extract it right out of the context. It says in John chapter 2 and verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage feast of Cana, Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And of course, we know that Jesus, in the next verse, Jesus was invited and his disciples were invited there as well. So John 2, 1 and 2, they need to discover, your disciple needs to discover that God doesn't just exist at your table in the quiet place, but God exists out there. And you go out there and you live as close to the Lord there as you did when you were sitting around your table talking about the exchange or living the exchange or my new life in Christ. We want to take them out there and show them that God's out there. He's everywhere you go. And you can utilize what He has made available to you. So have to spend some time in public places. You can't do it all sitting down in your home or their home. Letter B, glorify God in their presence. Point out how good He is. Just from life circumstances. Again, very simple. Don't make it hard. Glorify God right in the presence of the person that you want to help to grow up in the Lord. In verse 11 of chapter 2, John 2, 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. He manifests forth His glory. What's His glory? That's His praiseworthiness. He showed them that He was God. You've heard of a matchmaker, somebody that really likes to put people together in a marriage relationship. And one matchmaker may say, well, isn't he a good looking man? He's polite. He's from a really nice family. And he's a hard worker. And they just, you know, just kind of praise him. We ought to do that about our Lord, right? We want them to have a relationship with our God. So we need to talk lovingly and express to them what we think about our God to bring glory and honor to Him. Isn't He wonderful? 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 Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard. It's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Did I get the last right? Maybe. I guess I did. You know the old song that we teach in Bible school. Jesus is wonderful. We need to talk about that. Now, let me ask you, while we're just here on number two, do you ever glorify the Lord in public? You ever talk about how good God is? Do you ever talk about the fact that He never changes? Do you ever talk about the fact that he is merciful, that he's gracious? Well, I sure don't deserve it, but God did so and so. Keep God in the conversation. Bring glory and honor to God. Jesus did that. He always manifests forth his glory. He is God. And we should do the same thing. Letter C, chapter 2 and verse 12. Make them like part of your family. You say, is that altogether necessary? Yes, Jesus did it. Look at verse 12. It says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren. Well, you would expect them to be together, right? He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. And they continued there not many days. Of course, the Lord Jesus lived with his disciples for about 3.5 years before the crucifixion. Try to get to the point with your disciple to where silence is not uncomfortable. Do you ever get around somebody and just feel like, well, you have to say something. Something's got to be said all the time. If you never thought about that, you ought to think about it. That's true. When you don't know somebody well and you're together, you want to keep a conversation, keep it pleasant. But as you get to know them, you know, you might be riding down the road somewhere together and 30 seconds of silence and neither of you even think about it. It's totally fine. Try to be close enough to your disciple that they're like your brother, your sister, your children, your wife, your husband. Get to know them that well. Is that important? What do you think? Is it practical? Practical to get to know them to where they're kind of like, there's no uneasiness. There's no uneasiness between them. And the Lord Jesus, of course, did that with his disciples. Letter D, teach them beyond their present need or understanding. Teach them beyond their present need or understanding. Chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. What's he talking about? His body. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered, not the Jews, but his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the words, or the word which Jesus had said. So Jesus was always, you know, because there's more than this illustration of it. He was teaching them things that they didn't really grasp at the time, but later they remembered what he said and they understood it completely. Try to teach your disciple beyond where they are right now. Just give them some little seed thoughts that will take shape. They'll start to grow a little bit later in certain circumstances. They'll remember, oh, he said it would be like this. This requires a little thought, doesn't it? Requires a little forethought. Teach them things that you feel like, well, maybe they're not even ready for this just yet. But the Lord will use it and cause them later. To remember what you said. On a hot summer day, be a great time to teach somebody, what do you do if you're out on the road and you start to slide on the ice? Well, there's no ice. Well, but what would you do if? Teach them to turn the wheel the opposite way of their, or in the direction of their slide so that it keeps the car straight. You don't wait until you're sliding sideways to teach that, do you? Well, you shouldn't, because you might not make it. So teach them that during the summer months, when you're talking to your son or daughter about how to drive, that's a good thing to remember. Teach them more than they need for the moment. Letter E, get them involved in serving the Lord. Chapter 3 and verse 22, after these things, came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Jesus baptized, it says. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Jesus was using his disciples, and they were doing the baptizing, though he was the rabbi. He used his disciples for that. He got them involved in his ministry. And that's important. No better way to learn to sew than to sew. No better way to learn to work on a car than to work on a car. To write a story than to write a story. No better way to know the Lord and serve the Lord than to just roll up your sleeves and get busy. Do what He gives you to do. Maybe you could do it better. Maybe you could do it faster. But you can't do everything. And you can't do it forever. Somebody's going to take your place some point, my place some point, and we need to reproduce ourselves in others. And so to do that, get them involved in serving the Lord. That's my heart here. I think everybody ought to be serving the Lord, don't you? Everybody ought to be busy doing something for the Lord at Corinth Baptist Church. Every church member needs to be engaged. They need to be doing something. Letter F, teach them to serve by your example. Teach them by your example. John chapter 4 and verse 27. 4:27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman at the well. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou, and why talkest thou with her?" Jesus told them, "I must needs go through Samaria," but he didn't tell them why. And they found out because he showed them by his example. He was teaching them by his example. He showed them why. Some parents have said, "Don't do as I do, do as I say do." That's bad. That's really bad. And it's especially bad in making disciples. You tell them, "Do what I'm doing." That's how you teach disciples. And you may feel like, well, they have gifts that you don't have. You still need to be out there showing them how to walk and serve the Lord. Teach by your example. See how practical these are? Just things that we can see in Jesus' life. Letter G, be spiritually minded in front of your disciples. Not to overdo it. Be real. But don't be afraid to be spiritual minded. Look at verse 31 of chapter 4. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." And he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Jesus used a physical situation to make a spiritual point. We can do that. That's not hard. Talking about the Lord, turning the conversation to the Lord, turning the focus onto the Lord. Somebody says, "You're lucky." What do you say? "No, I'm not lucky. I don't believe in luck. I'm blessed. I'm blessed of God." That's a spiritual thought, isn't it? And it's contrary to the world. We can do that easily. Letter H, spend time with them in private. In private. This is a little overlapping, I guess. Chapter 6 and verse 3. Jesus went up into a mountain and there he sat with his disciples. 6:3. Spend time with them in private. There's no substitute for time, is there? Those of us who have raised children understand or should understand the father-son relationship, the father-daughter, the mother-son-daughter relationship. It takes time. There is no substitute for time. You say, "Well, I'm going to give them quality time, not quantity time." No, they need quantity time too. It takes time to raise children. It takes time to affect people's lives. We don't have much though, do we? I wish we had as much time as Abraham had. We do. 24 hours a day, every one of us. We had a great prayer time last night with the men at the parsonage. And some good conversation after our prayer time just about just engage in the ministry. It takes time. Brother Leroy was making that point last night and made it well. It takes time to make disciples. We have to commit. You can have somebody over to your house. You don't even have to teach the Bible study. I'll do it. Somebody else can do it. Discipling takes time. You say, well, I really don't have time to take on a disciple right now. There is nothing more important than somebody becoming like Christ. Think about it. There is nothing more important than us making a disciple who will make a disciple, who will make a disciple. You could do something right now in a month that would make an eternal difference, and there would be people in heaven because you did it. Think about it. God's work is important, eternally important. Spend time with them. Letter I, ask them questions or require a response to a situation to test them. Ask them questions or require of them a response to some situation. You know, what do you think about this? And that will test them. Look at chapter 6 and verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall ye buy bread that these may eat? Are you familiar with the next verse? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. The Lord already knew what he was going to do, but he was asking Philip. Why was he asking Philip? Just to make conversation? Just to be cute? No, he was asking Philip, it says, to prove him, to test him. The word means to test. It's a principle. We test people in school. The Jehovah's Witness are masterful at asking questions to teach. They do that well. They practice doing that. We ought to be so masterful in asking questions of our disciples and try to pull out of them a response. If it's the wrong response, hey, great opportunity to teach them. If it's the right response, we praise the Lord that they're learning. These are a lot to remember, isn't it? So you need a list. And you can make the list and engage in the ministry to someone. Ask them questions. See what they know. And when you find out what they know, cement it in their minds with an experience, with the experience that you're engaged in. Letter J, put them on the front seat wherever the Lord is working. Put them on the front row where the Lord is working. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the people. No, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. He put them right in the front. They were watching the people eat the fish. They were looking at the baskets of bread and fish that the Lord had filled, and they were watching how they never ran out. They never ran out, and it was amazing to them. We ought to put our disciples right up front. You can't learn to play ball if you never go to a ball game. You'll never learn how to play. Where do you go with these who you want to teach the things of Christ? Where do you go to try and test your disciples, to teach your disciples? You go wherever they can see what you're teaching them in real life. It might mean going out knocking on doors. It might mean go to the mall together or invite them over to a discipleship program that you're doing, or invite them to church. Put them where they're going to learn. If you are close to somebody and they're like family, they're going to care what you think. You're sort of their teacher. You're their discipler. And so if you suggest that they go to that Sunday school class, or you ought to be a part of that Bible study, then perhaps they will, because you have recommended it to them, and they trust you, and they respect you. Letter K, allow for the teaching of the testing of their faith as well as their knowledge. We want to not only test their knowledge, we want to test their faith. And chapter 6, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, the disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the water, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Do you ask questions as you read the Bible? Why did they leave Jesus and get in the ship and head toward Capernaum? How was he to get there? There are a lot of unanswered questions here, but I praise God for the story. The Lord Jesus is teaching them a lesson here by trying their faith. He gives them an opportunity to where what they need to do in response to this situation is trust him. Another time he was asleep at the stern of the ship, remember, and there was a storm, and they said, "Don't you care that we die? Don't you care that we perish?" And the Lord said, "Oh, ye of little faith, do you think God in the flesh is going to go down to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee? Do you think I am not able to protect you even if I'm asleep?" And he stood and he quieted the storm. He gave them tests of their faith. And we can do that. We have to be careful, not in something that it's out of bounds for us, but we can test their faith. Letter L, tell them the truth, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. John chapter 6 and verse 60 to 63. Many therefore the disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth." Jesus had talked to them about the bread of life. He'd given some hard to understand things. And there were people who didn't understand. They were really discouraged. And the disciples sort of drifted away at a certain point here. Dad, You need to lose some weight or it's going to kill you. We would do that, wouldn't we? We would tell somebody that we love something that's hard for them to hear, perhaps, but in a loving way, so that they'll take care of themselves. Well, I know that TV program teaches some pretty good things, but there's also some profanity in it, and you don't need to be listening to that profanity. That's what they need to hear. Tell your disciples what they need to hear. If they're wrong, tell them they're wrong. If they misunderstand, if they're misapplying some scriptures, tell them that's what they're doing and show them in the Word of God. They need to hear it, whether it hurts or not. We are indeed our brother's keeper, and especially those that we choose to disciple for Christ. Letter M, emphasize the importance of obedience to the Word of God. Chapter 8 and verse 31, John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed." You know, excuses are not good, are they? Have you ever listened to a Christian make excuses why he sins? I have a lot over the years, not an every day or an every week occurrence, but I have many times heard people tell me why they need to sin and how, you know, this is the only thing I do wrong. And I tell them, you're a liar too. You can add that to it because it's not all you do wrong. There are lots of things that you do wrong and you should not do wrong. Emphasize the importance of obedience to the Word of God. "Yes, I know I was speeding, officer, but you don't understand. My father is the judge in this county." Doesn't that sound ignorant? People make ignorant excuses about why they cannot obey. Don't let your disciples get by with it. If you're teaching somebody what the Lord said, then teach them what he said. Letter N, create opportunities to serve with them. to be in the same yoke with them. John 11, verses 6 and 7. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Who are we talking about? Lazarus. Then after that, saith his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. Let's go tonight to witness to your friend. You could say that to someone. Create opportunities to where you're going to go serve together. You're going to do something together. Letter O, be bold in your faith before your disciples. Be bold in your own faith. Chapter 11 and verse 8, John 11, 8. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Are you going there again? Don't you know how they feel about you? They saw that the Lord Jesus was not afraid to go anywhere. He went when it was time. It didn't matter what was going to happen, all the way to the very end. So for us, what might it be? It might be being somewhere. I'll confess to you, Brother Al and I went down yesterday to Home Depot, and a guy stopped us. He was in the paint counter. He was talking to two ladies, and he said, hey, guys, come over here. And he looked at Brother Al, and he said, you're older than me, not much, but a little older than me. And he wanted to know if we knew anybody that could dig out a stump. We told him about Terry Grant. Terry Grant could dig out a stump. And he's close enough and he could make it happen. And I thought to myself right there, I thought, you know, it would be great if we witnessed to this guy. You know what my excuse was? I didn't have any tracks in my pocket. But that's not reason enough. I should have talked to him. Brother Al, I'm sorry. I should have talked to him yesterday. We pass up opportunities to talk to the Lord. We need to be bold in our faith. We need to talk when it's convenient, and we need to talk when it's not convenient. We need to be bold in our faith. Letter P. To follow after Christ means to be a servant. Teach servitude by your example. Teach servitude by your example. Chapter 13 and verse 5. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. The foot washing experience that the disciples had when the communion service was instituted. You all have heard, and I have used the phrase often, what you do speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say. We ought to do servitude. Are you above certain things? Oh, there's no way I would do that. We ought to be servants. Any one of us can do any task here around the church. The sloppy ones and the clean ones. The ones that are in front of people and the ones that are not. Doesn't matter. We need to be bold in our servitude as well. Before our disciples. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Get down there and get that job done. Get in the nitty gritty of it. Letter Q. And I'm moving quickly on purpose because I want to finish. Here's a good one. Eat with your disciples. Eat with your disciples. Something very personable happens when you eat together. You have a meal together. It's great. John 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And you know the story. We're talking about the Lord Jesus had revealed that somebody would betray him. And who is leaning upon his breast? John the disciple, John the apostle. And it was a tender moment. I can't imagine leaning on somebody while you're eating. And they reclined to eat on their couches, you know, down close to the floor. Yeah, I don't mind talking to him at work, somebody might say, but I don't want to use my lunch break to do it. But your lunch break might be exactly the time. Invite him to eat with you. Invite her to eat with you, ladies. Because there's something very special about that. We have a disciple right now, a new convert in our church that I like to meet with regularly, and we do a lot of eating when we get together. It's a great time to talk. A great time to talk. We don't overeat. We just eat. We eat our meals together, and we're buddies. We're friends now, and I can tell you some of the best times to talk to somebody is over a meal, talking to them at the table. Not with your mouth full, though, right? Letter R, teach them to love. Chapter 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. Jesus' disciples have everything in common and they love one another. If you are a disciple who doesn't love other disciples, then you're not a disciple. Simple as that. Letter S, teach them to bear fruit. John 15 and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's pretty straightforward there. You know, you did a great job there teaching somebody to ski. If a little while later at the slopes in that same session, you see them teaching somebody else how to ski. Teaching them how to do what you taught them to do. That's important. Teach them to bear fruit. Teach them that, okay, you're a pupil, but you're also a teacher. No, you're not a college level teacher, but you're an elementary teacher. You need to teach the truths that you're learning. Very critically important. Letter T, pray with your disciples. Chapter 18 and verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. We know that he prayed there. Not praying with our disciples is like not using the lights at night to teach somebody how to drive. No, do it without the lights. No, we need prayer. That's our guidance. That's the inviting the Lord to intervene in the circumstances. So pray with your disciples. Letter U, trust them with some important matters. Jesus is on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 27. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You say, well, the Lord didn't have any choices there. No, he trusted John. John was prepared to take mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, into his own house. Son, now you know how to wash a car. Dad just taught him how to wash a car. Dad, can I wash your truck? No, maybe you need to wait a while before you do that. But what could he hurt? What could he hurt? Trust them with important matters. Trust your disciples. Trust the Lord with your disciple. You're in agreement with the Lord, and you're in the same yoke with the Lord to bring this person to a point to where they can do something. You have to trust them to be able to do it. Trust them with important matters. Lastly, I'll just say it like this. Prove it. Prove it. Look at the scripture. Chapter 20 and verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw him. Thomas wanted to thrust his hand into his side. He wanted to put his fingers into the nail prints, and the Lord came and did it. Verse 25 says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in the hands his print of his nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And the Lord proved it. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Jesus eliminated any reason to doubt. He showed them. And we can do that, not miraculous things like the Lord did, but we can prove in a circumstance. See, that happened exactly like God said. Hear the news? Hear what's happening with Russia and China and Iran? It's exactly like the Lord said. Let me show you in the scripture. We can prove it with the scriptures. Say, look what's happening. Because I said so is not a good answer. Let them see in action. Let them see God in action. You just need to point it out. God's busy here, right? He's busy at our church. He's busy in our nation. He's busy around the world. Things that, you know, we don't like all the things that are happening, but God is orchestrating things, even evil included, to bring us to a point that the trumpet's going to sound, tribulation's going to happen, the millennial reign of Christ. Boy, those things don't look so far away right now to me. I like the thought of that. So we had A to V, A to V. Let me go through them quickly. Spend time with them in public places. Glorify God in His presence. C, make them like part of your family. Letter D, teach them beyond their present need or understanding. E, get them involved in serving the Lord. F, teach them to serve by your example. Letter G, be spiritual before them. Talk spiritual. Talk about the Lord. Talk about how things work. H, spend time with them in private. I, ask them questions and test their response. Letter J, put them on the front seat, the front row where the Lord is working. Letter K, allow for the testing of their faith as well as their knowledge. Letter L, tell them the truth even when it hurts. Letter M, emphasize the importance of obedience to the Word of God. Letter N, create opportunities to serve with them. Letter O, be bold in your faith when you're with your disciples. Letter P, teach servitude by example. Letter Q, eat with your disciples. Letter R, teach them to love one another. Letter S, teach them to bear fruit. Letter T, pray with your disciples. Letter U, trust them with important matters. And letter V, prove it. These are the things that you can just observe easily as you read through the narrative of the life of the Lord Jesus. Things that you and I truly need to do. You say, well, boy, that's a lot. Pick one. Pick one. And put it into practice in your life. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the example of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I desire to disciple. Others here do as well. Lord, help us to do it the way that Jesus did it, to learn by His perfect example. And Lord, while we're not Jesus Christ, we are not God, we have the power of God. We have your power upon our ministry. And Lord, we pray that you would make us effective by that power. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.